Well, hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, as always, Neil Horwitz. You can find out more about the podcast at dsmsports.net and follow me on Twitter at njh287. Got a fantastic show for you today. Really had a have a great discussion coming up with Chad Coleman, social media manager at Callaway Golf. Golf season's just picking up now with the PGA schedule getting in full gear, and had a great talk with Chad about how Callaway really serves all of his different audiences and maintains and builds relationships over time with content marketing, so that when it is time to ask questions about buying a golf club or to recommend to a buddy, that Callaway is top of mind and a trusted brand. But before we get into our discussion with Chad, let's get into this episode's helpful tool. This episode's helpful tool is TweetDeck. You're probably shaking your head going, oh yeah, I know TweetDeck, or maybe you're not. It's a very commonly known and commonly used social media management tool. It's been around a long time, both as a desktop format, mobile format, as well as a standalone on the internet as well. And it has a ton of uses. You might be using it to schedule tweets, to manage multiple accounts, to have different streams going so you can monitor different lists. But are you using it to the fullest extent? Here are just some quick ways that you should be and can be using TweetDeck. Of course, we talked about scheduling tweets. At this time, you can't schedule tweets that have images attached to them, like you can in Hootsuite, although Hootsuite you have to use their Bitly shortener, or their URL shortener for pictures. But also, TweetDeck uses Bitly links automatically in all their links when you use a link on a tweet. So are you checking those Bitly link stats? Add a plus sign to the end of those Bitly link stats like we've talked about in a previous episode, and check those link clicks to see what's performing. You can do this through the Twitter analytics as well, of course, but you're already using Bitly. Get that information readily and easily whenever you want. Use all those columns to the max. Don't just have various lists. Look at using phrases like or and to modify certain columns, to add things to certain columns. If you're not getting a ton of volume, take advantage of that and add in the ors or the ands, so you can track multiple keywords, multiple phrases, multiple hashtags, and to really modify your search so you're getting only what you want. And along the same lines, use geotargeting commands. You can also do this on Twitter's advanced search, but enter in a filtering commands so you can only get the tweets that are within, say, a 50-mile radius of your location or whatever the case may be. Especially useful in sports when you're looking to target your local audiences more than your national or international audiences. Also, if you want to track mentions of a certain person or celebrity or a team member, you can type in their at names for a column that you want to track those at names, those mentions. You can also filter out things that are useless. We talked about using the or and to modify your search, but also use the subtract commands. You can filter out straight retweets, filter out someone who might be spamming a hashtag, certain keywords. Use that subtract command just like you use the add commands. Finally, also use the column cloud feature to see what a given list or who your followers are talking about and what they're talking about. It shows you keywords, shows you hashtags that are currently trending among the conversation of a given column. Great way to see what's resonating, what's trending among your audience. Finally, don't get complacent with your columns. Change them up. If you have a specific campaign going, get the keywords in there that can help you track and maximize and optimize that campaign. If there's a rumor going around a certain player, if there are certain players been in the news lately, or if you want to track something, use the keywords, track mentions of that player. Use a hashtag to track certain teams if you're playing against a certain team or looking at a certain sponsor. Don't just sit around and be complacent with the lists you have set up, with the columns you have set up. Feel free to, and you should be changing them over time. All right. So that is TweetDeck. Listen to it again. I'm not going to repeat all those things, but make sure you're utilizing TweetDeck to the fullest extent, because it really is a popular tool for a reason, and there's a lot of things that you could be using it for that perhaps you're not. All right, TweetDeck is our helpful tool, and we will be right back for a fantastic discussion with the social media manager of Callaway Golf, Chad Coleman. You're listening to the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool. You might know it. It's called TweetDeck. But the question is, are you using it to the fullest extent and getting the most out of it? Hopefully you will today. And I'm sure someone who's familiar with TweetDeck is this episode's guest. We are delighted to be talking to the social media manager at Callaway Golf. They do a great job there, and this is the brains behind it. We have Chad Coleman, social media manager at Callaway Golf, and he joins us today on the podcast. Welcome, Chad.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me. How's it going?
Going very good, sir. How about you? Are you familiar with TweetDeck? Is that one of your go-to tools? Are you a Hootsuite person, a Buffer?
You know, I've always been a TweetDecker. I never really got into Hootsuite or anything. I think when I first started using a management tool, it was TweetDeck, and I like how it's set up, and I never really had a reason to stray away from it. But yeah, I love it. I do. You know, I have lists of PGA. I'll do a list for our PGA Tour pros to have an easy, quick way to see anytime they tweet what they're tweeting about. I'll do a list for Callaway employees to see what our employees are saying and hashtags that we're using in promotional campaigns or new clubs or whatever it may be to monitor conversations around that. So it's an awesome, quick, and easy tool to help me kind of keep up with everybody that I need to be on a daily basis.
Oh, definitely a must-have tool for social media managers, even if a lot of us tend to agree that the older versions were better.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we have a lot to talk about today with Chad, and we're excited to have him because, like I said, Callaway Golf is all over the social media atmosphere doing a great job, and the PGA season is really just getting going, and it's going to be a fun summer, fun year. But first, before we get into the substance of the interview, we always like to get to know our guests. And Chad, you have a great story about how you got to where you are today. So give us an idea of your career path, how you got into sports, worked your way up, social media skills, and any advice you have along the way.
Yeah, so it's to make a long story somewhat short. So I grew up in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. Went to school there at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got into social media and my fascination with social media and how it can connect brands to fans was on my senior year of college. I also managed a local frozen yogurt shop actually on campus, and the owners didn't really they had no idea what really Twitter or Facebook or anything was, and so when I approached them about creating an account, they're like, "Yeah, whatever. If that's what you want to do, then do it." So, so it was cool. I got to create it. I just did Facebook, Twitter account. Kind of from the grounds up, and it was mine to own, and I could do what I wanted with it and experiment. And we're just off, basically right on campus. So, our college students were. Or a big part of the group that we were trying to attract and keep them coming in the store, and it was fun figuring out ways to connect with them on social and keep them informed of what we have going on, any deals, and or whatever it may be. So that was kind of where I really got interested in social because it was a good experience that I got to kind of do my own thing with it, and then. Out of college, I got a job at a social media like kind of marketing agency in the area, and so I was doing like social content for big brands, kind of like Walmart, Sam's Club, PF Chang's, that kind of thing. So I got to experience that side of it, the kind of the corporate side as well, which was cool. And then how I got into golf, I've always been a huge golf fan and a humongous golf nerd my entire life. So, naturally I kept up with a lot of people in the industry on Twitter, especially. And, I happened to have connected with, one of the ladies at Golf Digest that does their social media, Ashley Mayo. And she, we just connected online on Twitter and, And I reached out to her one day saying, you know, that I thought there was a lot of opportunity in the golf industry for golf brands to really excel and stand apart than what was doing what they're what was currently happening, because being a social media and a golf fan, I was you know, watching closely at what all the golf brands were doing, and nobody was doing anything to stand out. And so I saw a huge opportunity there, and a lot of it was good timing and luck, as far as me reaching out to her at the right time and her having the confidence in me, just knowing me through Twitter to recommend me for the job, because she knew the guy that was hiring for it. So the timing was right, but you know, a lot of persistence and hard work and throwing out ideas and proving to Callaway that you know, this was the first position they were hiring in the company for social media specific, but you know, just making sure I could prove to them that I was the guy for this job. So it was so that's kind of a long story made a little bit shorter, and that's how I ended up from Arkansas to sunny Southern California.
Yeah, just like that. That's great, and there's some great lessons in there, I think, for listeners to take away from, and in that you didn't set out in school to become a sports business expert or try to become the biggest golf nut in the world.
Right.
You started adding skills from day one, and I think that's something to take away from is, you know, you don't need to be doing your dream job. You need to be focusing on what skills am I adding? How am I preparing myself for a dream job in the future? And
right.
Obviously, that came in handy.
Yeah, exactly. And how can you apply those skills to make your employer or your company better? So that was one thing that, you know, it was so new at the time for people in this building anyway, when they were hiring for this position, that I think they kind of wanted someone to come in and say, you know, here's what I can do and here's how I'm going to do it and here's how we're going to be better than anybody else. And so that was kind of the mentality I had going in, you know, in the interview process and that kind of thing.
Do you find that the agency side is kind of still where it's at, or is a lot of more of it becoming in-house like at Callaway?
You know, I feel like it's shifting a little bit from agency to in-house. I read articles all the time about you know, the next big company that's bringing it in-house. I can't say enough about having worked on the agency side doing social content for big brands, and now being the social content guy for a big brand, I've seen both sides of it, and I can't even tell you how much of a just unbelievable difference it is to have your social in-house rather than somebody that's not in the building trying to share what your culture is like and what's going on in the company. They're just, if you're not in the building and you're not in the midst of everything that's going on every day, all day, every day, then you just, there's just no, I mean, I honestly don't see any way to really succeed and produce really great content, because, you know, I feel like you have to be pretty ingrained in it and know the business well. So I think that that's probably why, you know, we're seeing more and more companies bring it in-house.
Oh, very much so. And really being able to marry yourself to a brand and speak on behalf of the brand and understand its fans and its clients and its customers as
yep.
well. And especially in an industry like golf, where it's expected for you to be knowledgeable and to understand the nuances of the sport and what customers are looking for.
Exactly.
That's a great insight there.
And the verbiage, you know, and you have to be able to speak golf, you know, and if we hired an agency to do our social, no telling, you know, what kind of, you know, grammatical errors or whatever may happen from, you know, whoever gets assigned to doing the social content for us that's not a golfer, that doesn't speak golf, you know. So that's a big part of it too.
Oh, I bet. So tell me about how you said your position was relatively new at Callaway, or was new altogether. So how did it fit in early on? What was your charge as the social media manager, and how has it sort of evolved along the way since you've been there over the years?
Yeah, so I started, I guess, almost 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in April. First position for social in the company, so it was kind of new. So a lot of what I started off doing at first was, you know, basically coming in and cleaning house. We had like a couple Twitter accounts and Facebook, and were kind of all over the map. It was you know, before I came in, it was kind of one of those things where it was like a group of like three or four people would post something on their lunch hour kind of thing, and it was off brand. There were spelling errors. It was hideous. So
very much an afterthought, it sounds like.
Yeah, and there were there were a couple different accounts that didn't make sense for there to be like three different Callaway accounts. So when I first came in, that was kind of the first thing, was deciding which platforms we wanted to be on, and then going in and kind of cleaning house and deleting. You know, I deleted a couple Twitter accounts that didn't make any sense to have. You know, that way we could focus on the brand account. And so doing a little house cleaning, if you will, in that regard. And then another thing was getting some of the senior management in the company on board and on Twitter to be accessible to our fans. So I knew that was huge, and that I, as a golf fan, before I started at Callaway, I wished that I could have access to the SVP of marketing or the head of research and development at a golf company and be able to communicate with them and ask them a question about the club or whatever it may be. And nobody was doing that. So we made a big push. We got, our head of research and development, our head of marketing, our head of tour, our chief club designer, all those guys now are on Twitter and talking with consumers every day. And so that was kind of a big deal for us, and setting kind of, and aside from that, setting kind of a general overall strategy, and that kind of thing was what was first priority. And then over time, it's more of how can we, we're acting a lot as kind of a newsroom here at the marketing area at Callaway, where we produce a lot of our own content. We're quick and timely and engaging and topical, and we're moving fast and interacting with fans and pushing out content just as fast as we can get it up. And so it's evolved a little bit from kind of just managing accounts to thinking creatively and how can I, what's next for us? How can we share stories from tour in a different way than any other golf brand is doing? How can we share stories from, around the company, the culture, our products, our research and development, retail? How can we do this in a cool and unique way that's different from any other golf company, so that our consumers are experiencing us in a different way, in a different and new and innovative way than they experience any other brand?
It's very interesting, and I love the way you think you frame things, in that it's not about making a sales pitch, not about pushing product all the time. It's being part of the conversation, being part of that content, and presenting it in a valuable way. Was that always
absolutely
the mindset from the beginning?
Absolutely, yeah. It was, that's one thing, but the old way of golf marketing was a very structured one-way communication model, where brands were just pushing out content and pushing out their product stories and telling you to go buy these clubs. And I knew there was a big opportunity to really make our brand feel more accessible and get golf fans out there and fans of Callaway to get a chance to be able to know the people behind the brand. And I put myself out there from day one, as I wanted people to know that I was the guy behind the social media, and that if they follow my personal account, and they can, they'll hear some Callaway talk, and I'll talk about our products and that kind of thing. But I'm also going to talk about normal stuff. What's happening in my life and in my personal life, and to an extent. And so I think that's been pretty big. I've made a lot of internet friends, if you will, over time, and people who just they just like to keep up with us and know what we're up to, and it helps to put faces behind the names.
Wow, what a great point there, in that you get to a point where Callaway itself ceases to become just another brand. It's almost like another friend in your social network, and that's great.
Right. Yeah.
So tell me, with golf, it really feels like the clientele is across the board when it comes to age and demographic and all that. So when you first started with social, and even now with Callaway, was it about getting your current customers to join up and engage on social, or was it more about finding those customers who are already active on social networks and getting them to find you guys on there?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I think, you know, when I started almost 2 years ago, we were going through a huge change in the company. We at basically the same time I came in, we got a new CEO and a new head of marketing, and we basically turned the company around. Callaway was going in a pretty bad direction for a couple years. And so it was kind of, you know, the past 2 years have felt a little bit like we're working at a startup, you know, because we had lost our way so much, and we are making such a change that, you know, first of all, we had to recognize, you know, to our current customers and to our current Callaway loyalists out there that we realized that we had been going down the wrong path, but you know, try to get them to understand that it's a new culture and a new feeling and new leadership at Callaway, and you know, that was kind of step one. And then step two was getting getting taken seriously again by the best players in the world and being seen as a performance innovative performance and equipment brand, that not as, you know, kind of your old Callaway grandpa's brand that I think Callaway in the past had gotten the kind of shtick for. So the thing about social and Twitter in particular, and Instagram and everywhere, is that, you know, changing the perception of your brand is definitely not easy. And not that Twitter did everything for it, but it was a lot easier to change our perception on Twitter, and just the way that we talked and our tone and the kind of content we were putting out and that kind of thing was kind of the easiest and quickest way to get people to kind of think of us differently. And so that was a very helpful tool.
It really is incredible to think, you know, how did brands define themselves, define a voice before social? I mean, now we almost take it for granted that social media is such a valuable tool for that, for that purpose.
Absolutely.
So tell me too, it sounds like you're really talking to almost two different audiences. You, especially early on, you were trying to get the respect of the tour pros and the weekend pros, so to speak, the casual guys who are playing at around an even handicap. In addition to the folks who are just taking up golf or just playing for fun on the side and trying to make sure that they have the right club for the right shot. And is it really a dichotomy of speaking to the casual versus the major pros?
A little bit. I mean, you know, they're probably more alike than you would think. The casual, you know, it's more about speaking to the just diehard golf fans, whether they're a scratch golfer or a 20 handicap. They could both be just diehard, you know, complete golf nerds who just love everything about the game. And that's really who we're trying to connect with and create relationships with, are people who just have a passion for the game, and get them to understand that we're just a company full of people who have passion for the game as well. And you know, making that connection is a pretty strong thing, because when we reach the Callaway enthusiasts out there and the better players and the socially savvy players, you know, and create relationships with them, then they turn into, you know, kind of Callaway ambassadors themselves, and they tell their buddies at their local pro shop about it. And so it's kind of a little bit of a trickle down effect in that respect, which is nice as well for us.
Oh, definitely. I think everyone that has taken up golf generally has that friend they consider their expert and get advice from.
Right, exactly.
The more you can get inside those people's heads and, like you said, create those brand evangelists, those advocates, the better off you are. And that's a big part of social.
That's right.
So is it really I know when I first came across you on social media and Callaway in general, my first thought was, okay, well, most golfers are these older, middle-aged, rich guys who, you know, have Rolexes and yeah, you know, are booking tee times, and they're not on Twitter, they're not on Facebook in the middle of the day. And is that a misconception, or is it just, if there's content there, they will consume it?
It is, yeah. I think it's definitely a misconception. If you know, there's, and you know, those, it's kind of a different world. We're, you know, our above the line advertising is going to reach, you know, we know the market that it's going to reach and the demographics there. And the people we're trying to reach on social are not necessarily the type of person you described. It's more of, you know, like I said, with our brand kind of perception in the beginning is, you know, we want to make sure that we're connecting with the younger, more digitally savvy, better players, elite amateurs, and getting them to basically think that our brand is cool again, to be honest with you. And so that's where social has played a big part in that, because we're able to connect with that audience on a daily basis.
And are you finding that you guys are echoing this brand, this coolness factor in your traditional assets as well, in your traditional marketing? And if so, how do you go about that? And how difficult is it?
Yeah, I mean, our above the line stuff is obviously a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit more standard and typical and I guess regulated, you know, than what we do down in the trenches on a day-to-day basis. You know, it is what it is. Our commercials are going to be, you know, our commercials have definitely turned around. They're definitely a lot cooler now, and people are noticing that and telling us that, which is nice. But you know, really, it all starts with the Zoo Crew, as our head of marketing Harry likes to call us, who, you know, our entire marketing team is on Twitter, and we're just constantly barraging everybody all day, every day, just, you know, putting ourselves out there and connecting with fans and letting them kind of into the world of Callaway and give them an inside look at what we're doing. So that's kind of where it starts for us, and then, you know, the rest will follow.
One thing that certainly did stand out to me, and I'd love for you to wax a little bit for our listeners, is that if you check out the Callaway website, it looks relatively almost similar to the imagery you'll see on the social media side. And I first of all, I love that. And second, how did it come about that way? Was it more the social media started to inform the website, or vice versa, and the social media started to more so look like the website?
Yeah, it was definitely the former. I think you know, we launched this new site in January, and you know, like I said, in addition to all the social stuff we're doing, we're also creating a lot of our own original content now. We have, you know, an in-house full-time video editor, photographer. You know, we're acting like a newsroom, basically. We have literally every morning at 8:30, we have a morning meeting, just like a radio show would, where our entire marketing group sits down in a room and talks about what's going on that day. What are people talking about? You know, what's going on in the golf world? What do golfers want to hear from us? And we bring up ideas, and then we leave the room and we go do it, and we put it out. We have talk shows, Callaway Talks, where we get guests in, and if we have a new product, we'll bring in our product experts and have them explain how the product works. And when we have tour pros in, we'll have them in. Our head of marketing is also the host of our podcast, where we have kind of longer form, deeper conversations with just influential people in the golf industry. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Callaway. We know that golfers are, that's the kind of stuff that they want to hear. And so we have guests in, you know, that are guys that are kind of iconic in the golf industry, and just sit down with them and talk with them about their life and their impact on the game. And so a lot of that kind of stuff that we're, you know, whether it's a quick hitting or longer form, communication, we're doing a lot of that in house now too. So our idea with the website was, you know, when somebody goes to look at the new Big Bertha driver, for instance, on our website, they also need to be served up with social photos of that driver, tweets, people talking about that driver. Our Callaway Talks video with our head of research and development, who's explaining that driver, our product videos, any kind of content that we've produced for that driver, it needs to be all readily available and easily right there for them, so that they can learn more and have all the tools that they need to make a decision and to learn more about the product. So that was kind of, you know, it's very content driven, and our whole business now is content driven. So that was kind of the idea, and it turned out really awesome. Big props to our web team who worked. I don't think they slept the entire month of December at all. And if they did, it was probably in their office. So they worked long hours and got it done, and it's amazing. It's unlike anybody else in the golf industry by far, and almost unlike anything else I've ever seen in the sports industry. It's a really cool format and allows us to share our content in a very unique way.
Well, hey, your team's probably used to those early tee times anyway. They don't need that. But yeah, I love that mindset of not just trying to upsell someone as soon as they buy a product, or trying to sell more stuff. It's more about how can we teach you to better improve how you use our product, and how can we approach you, knowing that we know, showing that we know you as a person, as a customer, and helping you get better at what interests you in this industry. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a pretty powerful thing for a golf fan to be standing in a retail shop, looking at a new Big Bertha driver, and being able to tweet the head of R&D at Callaway, who designed the club, and ask him a question about it, and probably get a response pretty quick after. That's just awesome, and it's something that's never been that golfers have never had the access to before. So that's really exciting to us.
And do you find that customers are more willing or wanting to hear from a player, a tour pro, versus an expert or someone more relatable, I guess, or is sort of vary case by case?
It varies. It depends on what the content is. I think, you know, if it's just information about a product, they want to hear it from the horse's mouth. They want to hear from our guys directly from R&D, and they want to hear it in the most simple, easy to consume way that they possibly can, because, you know, we're reaching a consumer now that's on the go all the time, and they're on mobile, and they've got all this, you know, everything going, and everything's moving so fast. So how can we make it easy and simple for them to consume this information, and you know, we're convinced that if they hear us out and get all the right information, that they're going to choose Callaway.
Oh, definitely. And we always talk about it in this industry is getting the right message to the right person at the right time in the right format. And if someone's in a pro shop and they're looking at clubs, and they get on their mobile device and they want to look up information, you want to make sure that Callaway has what they need in easily digestible and retrievable form.
Exactly. Yep.
That's great.
So it's like you've done this social media thing before, Neil.
Spent a few days in it.
Okay.
I want to pivot back real quickly, though, to go back to the whole notion of content marketing, which obviously Callaway does fantastically, and really you guys talked about this consistent meeting, consistent integration when it comes to creating content and utilizing all your assets. How much trackable and non-trackable strategy is there behind the content? Are there sort of KPIs, are there goals that you're looking for to whether it's quantifiable or not, or building up a database of leads? What's sort of the strategy behind all that content, or is it more just generic? Like, how can we help our customer today?
It's a little bit more generic in my world, and the reason is that everything is so fast moving, and that I'm talking to people all day every day. So in that way, I kind of get a feel for what's working and what's not just by the reactions from our fans.
That magic word, Chad. That magic word, listen.
Exactly. Yeah. So that actually it does wonders. People actually like it whenever brands that they love actually listen to them. So we're moving at such a fast pace that's kind of we don't get I don't in particular get into the trenches much. We have a team that kind of looks deeper into that, and you know, we do analyze like of our shows that we produce and our videos and that kind of thing, which ones are getting the most views, and then we can look at, you know, how far in are people watching before they exit out, so we can kind of optimize, you know, our Callaway Talks programs. They were used to be about 9 or 10 minutes, and we're finding out that people were coming in and watching about 6 minutes of them, and then they were ducking out. So we've changed that to a kind of quicker form and make sure we're keeping it under about 6 minutes, so that because we know that that's going to get the most eyeballs. So we do, you know, some constantly kind of tweaking on the go like that as well.
So then getting back to the idea of having different people that you're talking to at different times to some degree, even though they're all, of course, golf fans looking for the best golf club, do the strategic goals sort of remain the same? Is it just really about getting someone to marry themselves to the Callaway brand and to realize that Callaway is going to be their brand for all the golf products they need? Or is there different language, different content that works better for those different market segments, from the scratch golfers to the casual weekend tee time guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, the tone and voice that we want to have is kind of, you know, being like you're one of your good buddies who is obsessed with golf, and that we know the verbiage and the language of golf, and we're speaking in a way that a golfer speaks and that a golfer understands. And so, you know, in that way, making our brand a little bit more relatable. I mean, we're a premium golf performance brand, so we should be able to talk in that way and connect with our consumers in that kind of way as well. So it's a lot of you know, thankfully it's golfers are all, you know, regardless, most of them are the same, somewhat the same in that respect, as far as, you know, kind of speaking the same language. And so our different platforms will segment out, you know, the audience as far as the age and that kind of thing that we're trying to reach, but most of them are pretty, you know, same in regards to the tone and how we talk about golf.
So when you guys are doing prospecting or just trying to grow your general social reach, are you looking more for those people that are just taking up the sport, or are you looking for people that are you know what they're doing in golf, like you said, that know the jargon, know what they're looking for, and just they need to know that Callaway is the best because X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I want to say that we focus more on the people who are already into golf, socially anyway, a little bit, in terms of, you know, we want to be able to get those digitally savvy, good, better golfers out there who may not be Callaway fans to listen to us, hear us out, and then be able to connect with the people in the brand, and hopefully, you know, make them feel a stronger connection to us than they ever have, and maybe that'll lead to them putting Callaway products in their bag. Maybe it won't, but we're also listening. You know, I get questions every day from people who are just taking up the game, and they want to know which of our irons are going to be best for them, and which driver they should get, and what shaft flex, and why this driver would be best for them and why not. And, you know, people who are kind of uneducated just because they're just getting into the game, and I love that as well, because I love being able to educate people and not really force Callaway down their throat, but, you know, I have all these assets. I have, you know, if somebody says which driver should I play, well, guess what, we created a video that details our three new drivers for this year and tells you how they're, you know, plain and simple, how they're different and what type of player should be playing each different one. So there's a common, you know, misconception that, you know, in the golf industry, we put out products too often, and once we launch a new driver, their old driver is obsolete, which is definitely not the case. We, you know, here at Callaway anyway, when we make a product, we make it for a specific golfer in mind. So we have, you know, whether it's a very lightweight constructed golfer with an aerodynamic head and super lightweight shaft to help people who have lower swing speeds, or people, you know, a Big Bertha Alpha for people who are like a little less spin and a little bit more workability, and then Big Bertha for people who like a little bit more forgiveness and MOI. So we have, you know, from a broad range of the spectrum, we can find a club that fits you, and the good thing is, you know, the cool thing is we can tell that person why now. So I have all these, you know, assets at my fingertips that I can share with consumers when they ask questions like that.
That's great, and it really comes down to building a trust and a lasting relationship between your fans, your customers, and the brand. So it's not just, hey, we have a new club coming out this week, so you better buy it because it's new. It's, this here's some new clubs. This one might help you with what you need help with because it helps solve your personal problem. And it's that friendly like relationship, like you said, where it's not just pushing every single new product; it's helping them when they need it.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know I try to be as least pushy as we can, and just hope that, you know, by allowing consumers this inside access to the people behind the brand and getting to know us and taking the time to understand what we're about and what our products do, that'll translate into the marketplace. And, you know, we won't have to try to convince them to buy our products. We'll just give them the information they need. And if they choose to, that's awesome. And if not, you know, other companies make good equipment, so maybe it's not for them, but, you know, regardless, we're not going to hold grudges or anything. We enjoy the good, the bad, and the ugly, whatever comes. You know, we know all too well that all three of those come with the territory on social. So we're prepared and we're understanding and we're taking it in stride. And I think consumers appreciate that. It's kind of a breath of fresh air.
Definitely. I will say, to pass on a quick anecdote, is I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Marcus Sheridan, a marketer a content marketer who does makes pool and is well known for promoting the fact that he does reviews of not just his own company but other competitors as well on his website. So he's giving them free pub, but is more so doing a service for his customers, saying here's the pluses and minuses of this one and this one and this one. And it's such a great, transparent, trusting way to present your brand.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I do want to before we get into it, this episode's charitable stat, we're having a great conversation right now with Chad Coleman, social media manager at Callaway Golf. I want to talk about what platforms Callaway does utilize from a social network standpoint, and whether you guys approach each one in a unique way or if it's more about keeping it sort of consistent across the board.
We do, yeah. What my main focus now, so I kind of do all the day-to-day content posting and responding to people on all of our social platforms, and so it's fun to kind of have had the time to see, you know, to optimize each platform and see what our consumers like to see on different ones versus the others, and it's kind of, you know, a constant optimization, which is fascinating to me. You know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Vine, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, all of those. And so in simple terms, one of my favorite channels is Instagram because it allows us to be more intimate with our customers and our fans, and to be able to share our products and our story in a way that's not as brandy or as marketing pushed as some of the other stuff may be, because we're, you know, really just sharing inside access and behind the scenes and valuable things that golf fans out there who can't be at a tournament and see what's going on behind the scenes and be with our tour pros or see, you know, the inside of our research and development lab, I'm able to share that story in very cool and unique ways. And then on Pinterest, it's more of lifestyle and not hardly at all about products, but more about just connecting with, showing off kind of who we are as a personality what golf fans in general are interested in, as opposed to products. And Twitter is a lot of very quick hitting and timely and topical. That's, you know, where we publish a lot of our content that we create in house daily, and we push that out often. And so that's kind of more of the quick time. But they're all different, and you have to treat each platform in a different way and how you post and how you say it on each channel and optimize it for each channel. And it takes a little extra time to do that as opposed to clicking one button and posting it everywhere. But, definitely makes a difference. And I've kind of learned how to talk to each of our different channels to get the best reaction.
I will say it's just fantastic to hear in general that you are able to articulate the differences between the platforms and how you guys approach them differently from a strategic and content perspective. I mean, so many people are just on X, Y, and Z platform because they feel like they should be there.
Right.
But for you to actually understand why you're on each platform, how you use each platform, it's very refreshing and very insightful. I hope other people adapt that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important to have a plan going in as opposed to just being somewhere just to be there. We want to make sure that we can provide value to our consumers and our fans out there, not just be on another channel just to be there and it gets confusing. We want to make sure we have a plan to, you know, how are we going to use this channel to do something creative and unique in a way that we can't do on any of our other channels.
Definitely. Snapchat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jump on the Snapchat bandwagon with no real rhyme or reason behind it yet.
Yeah. We strayed away from that one. I, you know, maybe for like a Taco Bell, it'll be good, but not for, I don't think, for a premium performance golf brand.
Tell me really quickly before we jump into this episode's charitable stat. I know you guys just had a ton of work going to the Big Bertha relaunch. So tell me about how you guys use social to drum up buzz beforehand and blow it out when it did come out.
Yeah, we announced it in early December, and so
for our listeners, Chad, real quick, describe what Big Bertha is.
Yeah, so we launched the original Big Bertha driver in I think 91, and it was literally the most game changing club that any golf company has ever released in the history of golf. Arguably, it was a driver that just totally revolutionized the game, and everyone was using it. And it was, you know, I've heard just stories on stories on stories of people who worked here at Callaway still, who worked there back then, and they were a part of it, and it's just unbelievable. So it was a very game changer. It was a large club compared to what the drivers were like back then, and it was a little shocking and weird, but it was very groundbreaking technology. And you know, we felt like that the Big Bertha name has a lot of brand equity, and we felt like we needed to wait until the time was right to bring it back, and we had a technology that was just as game-changing as the original Big Bertha for it to even make sense and have the impact that it should and that it deserves. And we feel like we have that. We have two Big Bertha drivers, Big Bertha and Big Bertha Alpha. And on Big Bertha Alpha, to put it in layman's terms for people who may not be into golf equipment, it's there's basically what we call a gravity core, which is a cartridge that sits vertically in the club, and you can unscrew it on the bottom, and there's a 12-gram tungsten weight on one end of this gravity core, and you can flip that weight either up towards the crown to increase spin, or you can flip it down to decrease spin. So for the very first time in a driver, you're able to adjust the center of gravity in a vertical motion. And adjust spin relative of loft, which is just unbelievable, and it's pretty crazy that what our R&D team can come up with. But we knew that with that, and then the adjustable perimeter weighting on the Big Bertha driver, the standard Big Bertha, were a really good combo, and we knew we had something special. So it was kind of like the perfect storm, and bringing it back.
So, to answer your question, we
did a lot of, before we announced it on December 2nd, we did a lot of teasing. So with the original Big Bertha drivers marketing campaign in 91, we had like a cartoon character of Sir Isaac Newton, and the tagline was, "You can't argue with physics," and there was like an apple that dropped off his head, and that was kind of the marketing campaign for Big Bertha was... this cartoon Sir Isaac Newton, and you can't argue with physics. So we brought him back this year in a new and updated way, and we brought that whole the idea back. So before we announced it, we released a teaser on YouTube and Instagram of Sir Isaac kind of working in his workshop, the R&D shop, and like coming up with this. There's like lightning bolts going off, and he's like coming, creating this masterpiece, and then it just says, Bertha's back at the end. So we use the Bertha's back hashtag all the way from pre-launch or pre-announcement until recently. Big Bertha just hit stores a week ago yesterday, or a week ago today on Valentine's Day. So we've kind of used that hashtag all the way through to build up excitement for people to go try it at retail when it was available on Valentine's Day. And so it was cool. We shared some sneak peek photos, that video, to kind of gain excitement. And then after we announced it, was the next phase was telling people about these drivers in the most simple way and giving them all the tools that they need to understand what they did and the performance benefits of them, and keeping the conversation going in that way. And then now it's post-launch, so we're coming up with new ways to keep people interested. And you know, tour has a lot of influence on that, because we have guys out there as the PGA Tour season starts really kicking into gear who are playing these drivers. And if they win, that's great for us, and it helps, you know, it helps us with social content and marketing and all that stuff as well. So that's kind of the gist of it.
Wow, well, thanks for sharing. That's really interesting stuff, and it's great to hear that content you're producing had so many different elements to it. It was entertaining. It was informative. It showed the science behind the research. It was shareable. It's so many good things there, and clearly it's been – so far, it seems like it's been a successful launch. I know, but I've seen Big Bertha, the hashtag, all over the place on Twitter. So you guys are
doing
something right.
Doing my job.
Well, we'll be. That's awesome to hear. Great way to sort of cap the interview. And we'll have more with Chad coming right up. With our chit chat with Chad, some fun quick hitting questions with Chad Coleman, social media manager of Callaway Golf. But first, we'll be right back with this episode's shareable stat. Wow, just so much fun talking to Chad. Who knew that there's just really so much going on in the golf space, and it's constantly evolving, and Chad and Callaway Golf really doing a great job at building relationships with their customers over time, building brand advocates, which is really what it's all about in every industry, especially sports. But before we have some more fun in our chit-chat with Chad quick-hitting questions, let's get into this episode's shareable stat. This episode's shareable stat comes from the recent National Sports Forum, where it was shared that only 6% of fans that identify themselves as NFL fans, 6% have actually been to a live NFL game. That is astounding. 6%. 6 out of 100 people. So what does that stat mean for sports marketers? Well, first off, it means that a lot of fans are being raised without having attended live games, without having that experience and knowing what it means to them, or connecting that with their love of a sport or love of a team. And this is an issue that's only going to exacerbate over time as the at-home experience becomes better. There's more screens. It becomes more personalized. And attendance is already slipping as it is. And if a generation is coming up that is not accustomed to attending live games, it's only going to get worse. How can we combat this? First off, it's important to get fans to at least come to one game, and then it's on you to win them over with that experience. Get them talking about it. Make it a memorable experience. Get them to realize why attending live games are so important. And then while they're there, while you have their attention and you have them in that fan experience mode, get them in the marketing sales funnel. If you can get them into your email database, get them onto a lead list, and start to build that relationship over time where you can emphasize why there's a good value in attending games and to get them to come out to more, that's only going to help. So get them in the marketing and sales funnel as soon as possible so you can keep up with that relationship building to get them to attend a game and or more games. Engage your fans on social. If they're not attending games live, they are likely consuming the content online, whether through web or social media networks. Are you doing enough to engage them and progress the relationship? Not just looking for likes, but looking to get them into an email database. Using your content to really bring to life the live experience and why attending a game is so important. Create that FOMO, that fear of missing out. Make every game an experience, a true event, and use your social and digital channels to promote those events. If every game is an event not to be missed, there's more of a chance of making live attendance worthwhile. Also, find other ways to monetize fans besides game attendance. For years, the gate has been the primary source of revenue, and that will remain the case most likely. But with these numbers that teams are starting to put up on their social and digital channels, there are increasing a number of opportunities to monetize fans even if they are not attending live games, or for whom it's not even possible to attend live games because they don't live close enough or really can't afford it. But you can utilize those numbers, that reach, that engaged audience with corporate sponsors and with merchandise buys, with other opportunities to monetize. So it might be time to start getting more creative and to consider some of those out-of-the-box ideas. Lastly, fans are out there, and now more than ever, it's important to get better at finding them, at turning them into leads, and converting those leads. The fans that want to attend games are out there, and they're just not getting the right offers, they're not seeing the right content, they're not getting into that marketing and sales funnel that you need them in, and now more than ever, we have the data to find them, to find when people have similar demographic data to current game attendees, who are seeing ads online and maybe not quite converting, who are engaged and highly active on social networks but not finding your content or not attending games after seeing your content, even though they could be. So a lot of different things to consider, but nevertheless a very shareable statistic coming out of the National Sports Forum, and that's this episode's shareable stat, that only 6% of NFL fans have actually attended a live game. All right, that's this episode's shareable stat, and we will be right back to Chit Chat with Chad, as we have some fun, quick-hitting questions with Chad Coleman, social media manager of Callaway Golf. All right, that's this episode's shareable stat, that only 6% of people who label themselves NFL fans have actually attended an NFL game. I'd be curious to know what our guest, Chad Coleman, social media manager of Callaway Golf, thinks about that, and whether it's a possibility that's similar in the PGA golf world as well. What do you think, Chad?
That's a pretty crazy, crazy stat there, Neil. I don't know what to even think about that, because that seems incredibly low. But I think, you know, golf fans are very, you know, very passionate about the sport, probably more than any other sports fans out there. So I would think, you know, and I would think that that number may be a little bit higher for golf fans, but that's actually a good question. I'd be interested to
Would you say, Chad, do the best Callaway customers, for example, are they also the biggest golf fans in terms of PGA and attending events, or is it not necessarily the case?
Yeah, not necessarily. You know, there's a lot of people out there, just golf fanatics, Callaway fanatics, who just love the game. They love to play. Some of them could care less about the PGA Tour. Some of them don't like watching golf on TV, and then there's some out there who live and die by, you know, they have to have the equipment that Phil Mickelson is playing, or, you know, whatever. So it's a very broad range.
Very interesting. Well, time for our Chit Chat with Chad. Some quick hitting questions for you. We won't keep it too long, but we're gonna have some fun with the Chad. So you've survived your interview. Are you now prepared to chit chat with Chad?
I am ready to chit chat with Chad. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I won't ask you to say that 5 times fast. Don't worry.
All right. Sounds good.
Number one, kind of builds off what we were just talking about, actually. Tell me a distinct way that golf fans are unique among other sports fans is blank.
They are much more passionate about sport and about the equipment.
So they really do care about the science behind those clubs and why each club is different for each scenario.
Absolutely, and you know they're spending a lot more on equipment than you spend on a basketball. You know, we're asking people to spend up to $1,000 just for a set of irons. So they're very knowledgeable, and they do their research, and they know what they want, and they're very passionate about it. And that means that they're probably passionate about what brand they choose, and that's why social is a big win for us, because we can capture those people and make them lifelong consumers and fans of Callaway. And you know, once a golf consumer has their favorite brand, they stick to that for a while, for a long time, so that's good for us.
Oh, it's fascinating too. I think that, Cali really does seem to embrace that, and that you guys don't just provide that brand trust, but also the science behind it, because you know that that's something that the fans want. That's
exactly. Yeah.
Number two for you. This one's a fun one. I follow you on Twitter, so I see you. I live vicariously through you sometimes. So tell me the best golf course you've ever been to and why.
Oh, without a doubt, Augusta National for the Masters last year. That was my first time there, and I've never had such high expectations of a place and still been as blown away as I was stepping foot on Augusta National. It was just absolutely unbelievable. By far the best place I've ever been.
You hear people talk about it, but it's not quite the same until you stand on that course yourself.
That's right. All in.
I love it. All right, number three for you, Chad. The first time and or most recent time you've been starstruck on the job.
Oh, first time I remember distinctly was definitely Phil Mickelson when I saw him in kind of a casual setting at our performance center, and just to kind of see him, how he kind of reacts and just as a normal person when he's not under the camera was crazy. And then probably most recent is Gary Player.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah.
Just a couple of golf legends there, you know.
Just a couple, like, yeah.
Gary Player, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, a little humble brag there.
I asked you to name drop, so it's okay.
All right.
Number four for you, Chad, and this one might be the most recent one, but the campaign or club that generated the most social media buzz, and why you think that is?
That was definitely, for pure social buzz, was our Tweet to Unleash, which was in October of 2012, we did a campaign where we let consumers reveal our new flagship driver for the year. So it was the RazorFit Extreme driver, and we had a hashtag, and we had a page when the driver had its head cover on, and this was the first ever image of the driver that was shared, and so we had like we had a certain hashtag, and the more that fans tweeted with that hashtag, the more the head cover came off. And so we literally put the power of revealing a product into the hands of our fans on social. So that was incredible and awesome, and the social buzz was just out of this world.
I remember that one well, actually. That was really cool, really innovative, and I'm glad to hear it was successful.
Awesome.
Number five for you, Chad. The most effective social media network for Callaway is blank, and why?
Ooh, I would say that's if I can have a tie. I'm gonna call out a tie here because Twitter is definitely effective for us, and like I said, getting out all the content that we produce daily and being timely and topical and engaging and really responsive to our fans. But I think Instagram is the most fascinating to me because it's a more intimate environment where we can really share the personality of our brand and the story behind our brand in a way that's not as intrusive or marketing focused as some of the other ones.
Ah, interesting, and it does really speak to what you guys are trying to do with Instagram and building that brand affinity, building and reinforcing that brand story as well.
Right. That's great. Absolutely.
Number six for you, and this one, I mean, I could use a tip myself. So, number six, the best tip for a beginning golfer.
The best tip I can possibly give you is to go buy a new set of Callaway clubs.
Ah, of course.
No, just kidding. I would say the best tip is just understanding how hard of a game golf is, and that knowing going into it that you're probably not going to be very good for a very long time, and you have to practice a lot and be persistent. So if you can't play bad and still enjoy it, then you're probably not going to enjoy it, because golf is a brutal game, and if you don't have the kind of right mindset about it, it can be not very fun.
Oh, most definitely. I think everyone has taken up golf understands that breaking 100 is not as easy as it may sound, as some people make it sound.
Oh, exactly.
All right, number seven. I'm looking forward to hearing the answer for this one. We're just about finishing up here with Chad Coleman, social media manager at Callaway Golf. finishing up our chit chat with Chad, the best food item you either had or seen at a golf course?
Definitely. I'm gonna tournament drop again. Pimento cheese sandwich at Augusta National for the Masters, without a doubt. That's probably the most sought after $1.50 sandwich that there is out there in the world.
That's great. And you know what? I always love seeing how at those older tournaments, especially the Masters, that the prices look like they haven't changed in decades.
The Masters, for sure. A lot of them are a little bit different, but the Masters has always stuck to its guns, and everything at the concessions there is incredibly cheap.
And lastly, for you, Chad, and I hope that this isn't biased a little bit because someone might be using Callaway versus not, but tell me your pick for the 2014 PGA Tour Player of the Year.
Well, this is going to be incredibly biased, but I want to think that this would also be my answer regardless of where I worked, is old Harry English. Harris English, fellow SEC guy, young gun. He's 24 years old, Callaway guy, new to the Callaway team this year. He's already had a bunch of top tens, and he had two wins last year on the PGA Tour. So he's one of the only two or three, I think him and Rory and maybe Patrick Reed are the only guys under 25 that have multiple PGA Tour victories or something like that. But he's awesome. He's a great guy. Got a good head on his shoulders. And he's going to be good. He's already had a good start this year. So,
wow, there you go. Pick. Place your bets on down now before the odds start to shift.
That's right.
All right, Chad, you survived your chit chat with Chad. Now it is your chance to give us your social media all-star to follow. Someone to shout out on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. It's why they're worth following and who they are.
Definitely our head of marketing, Harry Arnett. If you if you somehow have missed his tweets on Twitter, he has about 1,000 of them a day. I don't know how you could have missed it. You surely have seen one in some way or another by now. But it's at Harry Arnett, A-R-N-E-T-T, C-G, at Harry Arnett, C-G. He's our SVP of marketing, and he's awesome, and he'll tell you like it is and answer any question you want to know and give you really kind of cool insight to what we do here at Callaway.
I love it. Great to hear about a CEO who's transparent and talking to the fans like that.
Absolutely.
So tell me then, where can we find you on social media as well as Callaway Golf?
Yeah, so Callaway Golf, and then we also own Odyssey Golf, so at Odyssey Golf. And then my personal is at #Chad, at #Chad on Twitter and Instagram. So I'm there all day, every day, literally. My wife gets a little crazy at times because I'm on it so much. So that's where I am.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much again, Chad, for being generous with your time, with your knowledge. I know I learned a ton from you today, and it just is amazing. There's golf in particular is an industry that is really ripe for social media, and in Callaway is among the best, if not the best, out there in utilizing it.
Oh, thanks, Neil. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. And I like I said, I'm a big fan of the work that you do too, and I really appreciate you taking the time to reach out and do this, and keep up the good work yourself. You don't give yourself enough credit.
Well, take care, Chad. Enjoy the PGA season and enjoy all that warm weather you're having while our East Coast friends freeze themselves to death still.
I will, man. Sounds good. I'll talk to you on the internet.
Good night, sir.
Alrighty, see you, man.
Well, thanks again so much to Chad Coleman, social media manager of Callaway Golf, for joining us here on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Really learned a lot from him, and I really hope it gets you thinking in terms of what kind of content you're providing for your customers, your clients, that helps really build the relationship. How much sales talk are you doing versus how much valuable content are you providing? But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Neil Horowitz. Listen to previous episodes and see all of our content at dsmsports.net. Also, follow me on Twitter at njh287. And keep up with us and look out for the next podcast coming up in a matter of a couple weeks. Until next time, enjoy watching sports. Lots of stuff happens soon. We're at March Madness. We have the PGA schedule picking up. We have NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs on the precipice. So it's a fun time to be a sports fan, a fun time to be working in the digital and social media sports space, as always. All right, take care. Until next time.